that morning, a shining crown instead of ashes, and glory in the place of despair. I delight greatly in you, my soul rejoices and sings, for you took my empty life and filled it with every good thing. You have given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise instead of mourning, a shining crown instead of ashes, and glory in the place of despair. When my life was without purpose, you gave me a reason to live. Now my heart is full of thanksgiving for all of the riches you give. You have given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise instead of mourning, a shining crown instead of ashes, and glory in the place of despair, and glory in the place of despair.
Good morning, Little Swatara.
Good morning.
Pastor Matt is in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Read through your bulletin this morning and notice all of the information there. It's very filled today. Treasurer should pick up your banking records in the office. There's a birthday card box in the back for Randy Keeney. His birthday was on the 6th, but they're still collecting today. So if you have those, tuck those in. Women's Fellowship, they're pretty busy this month. They have a crafters meeting this Tuesday, weather permitting, I'm assuming. I'm not sure on that one. The next breakfast buffet is Saturday, February 23rd here at the church. The women are hosting that, and they're combining it with the men's breakfast. So the men will come, eat at the Women's Fellowship breakfast, and then meet afterwards. So it'll be nice for all of us to get out and enjoy that and support the Women's Fellowship. Anyone else have any other announcements? No, I did not say that we have every member council meeting for tomorrow night at 7:30, and everyone is invited to attend that. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Thank you for that reminder, Pam. If there's nothing else, I saw the youth did a great job on their Super Bowl Saturday, Sunday, so that was pretty cool. So please join me in your hymnals on number 690 for our call to worship. And please stand. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out all our transgressions according to your great compassion. Wash away all our iniquities and cleanse us from your sin.
For we know our transgressions and our sin is always before us.
We have sinned against you and have done what is evil in your sight.
As a sacrifice, we bring our broken and contrite hearts.
God will create in each of us a pure heart. God will not take the Holy Spirit from us. God will restore to us the joy of salvation and grant us willing spirits to sustain us.
Praise to the God of mercy who loves and forgives us.
And please stay standing and join us in How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was a dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
I'd like to invite you to the communion table this morning. Communion, we know, is a time of remembrance. It's also a time of examining our lives, taking inventory of where we are in relationship to Jesus and in relationship to one another. I invite you into a time of silent reflection. And as you reflect on your life, consider where it is you find yourself with God this morning. If there's something you need to repent of, I invite you to do so. After the time of examination, I'll close with prayer. Lord God, you search us, and you know us. And in knowing us, despite our shortcomings, you abundantly, compassionately love us. And we thank you, Father, for this time to remember the sacrifice your Son, Jesus, has given, that our sins would be paid for, full, paid in full. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can look at our lives, we can see where you have intersected with us, where we have changed, where we have become new, and we praise you for that knowledge. We pray that we would be renewed, we would be transformed each and every day of our lives, living for you, sold out, submitted fully. But Lord, we know the challenges of this life, so we take this time as we partake of your body and your blood to remember precisely what you have done for us. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table. For the Son of Man goes that it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." I'd invite the deacons to please come and assist in distributing the bread and the cup. And as we partake of the bread this morning, I would invite you to look at that piece of bread in a new light. Allow it before you to be transformed into Jesus' body. And as you look at the bread, you'll see piercings, if you will, in it. And be reminded, Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. Be reminded as you eat of his body that we too will suffer in this life, but nowhere in comparison to the suffering Christ has endured for each of us. The deacons may distribute the bread. Thank you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please repeat after me as written in the bulletin. The bread which we break is given in the body of Christ. You may eat. The cup, as you receive it, I invite you to see the cup not just as juice, not just as wine, but as the blood of Christ. And remember, blood gives life. And Jesus' blood gives an abundant life. And on this day, may we be filled with that abundant life, knowing as we go forth into this world that life is to be shared with each other. As we journey through suffering, as we journey through joy, may this blood be a reminder of what was poured out for you, that covers you, that cleanses you, and allows your sins to be forgiven. The deacons may distribute the cup. In the same way, he also took the cup after eating, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The cup which we drink, you may drink. Lord God, we rejoice in the knowledge that our sins have been forgiven. We rejoice in the knowledge that you have paid the price once and for all. We rejoice that we can remember each day of our lives what you have done for us, that we might live a new life, that we might be able to share this good news with others. So let us continue to remember every day of our lives this communion table. Lord, let us remember that it's not us, but it's you that has done this. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. It's a humble opportunity to be able to come before the Lord, to pray for one another, to be able to seek the Lord together. And we invite you at this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have. And as we're doing so, I'll give you a few updates. Gene Keeney is at Good Samaritan Hospital, so continue to keep Gene in your prayers. As well as in your bulletin each week, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. I invite you to keep that near to you and pray for those individuals each day. We do want to keep Kelly Sturzel in prayer as well. She had gallbladder surgery and now has pancreatitis. So please keep Kelly in your prayers as well. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning?
I just want to share that Connie Kopp is out of the hospital but moved to rehab. She'll be in rehab for about 2 weeks. She has appreciated cards that she's received from many people. So thank you for the cards, and I do have an address for her at the rehab if anyone's interested in her address there.
Thank you.
I'd like prayer for my brother-in-law, Randy Wyman, and his family. His mother passed away this week.
I brought some answers to the questions I've been getting. The mail finally has caught up, Curtis said. What happens is, some people ask me, what is he doing in Maryland? He's not in Maryland. He's in Berks County Prison. It's a mail clearing facility. What they do is they scan the cards, and he gets a scan of the cards. So he told me they're finally caught up. Now, in answer to another question, the pillow that is built into the bed, and he does have a blanket. And another answer to a question that I asked, yes, he did get outside on Thursday. Because I visited him on Thursday, and I said, are they letting you outside on these beautiful days? They did on Thursday. I especially want you to lift him up in prayer tomorrow. This is their second try at getting a hearing for him. And as he explained to me yesterday, possibly if the person doesn't show up to testify against him, it could be continued one more time. So the public defender might push for dismissal tomorrow, or they might continue it, or it might be decided tomorrow. So just pray that things go well. Now, he will have to still deal with violation of probation with Dauphin County, so we'll see how that goes, one step at a time. So just keep us all in prayer tomorrow. Thank
you. I would just like to give an update on Mason's eye. He had all his stitches taken out back in December, and he is doing well. Tomorrow he has a follow-up with that doctor, and he also meets with the cornea specialist to see what his probabilities are of ever seeing again.
Would you pray with me? Precious Lord, we humbly come before you. We recognize that you have plans for our lives, plans to prosper us, not to harm us. But Lord, we struggle, we suffer, we go through pain, we go through trials. And Lord, we sometimes take those things upon ourselves. But today, Lord, we want to hand them to you. And we want to say, Lord, take this suffering from me, allow me to see you through all this, the plan that you have for me. And I pray, Father, especially this morning for those on our prayer concerns. I lift each of them up by name. Carl Graby, Barry Gensimer, Linda Ziegler, Derek Kaufman, Connie Kopp, Paul Swigert, Joanne Ebling, John Hoover, Ruth Hoover, Jean Keeney, Kelly Sturzel, Ray's family, Curtis Warner, and Mason Hartrampt. Lord, you know specifically their needs. You know the healing touch they desire. You know the comfort that they are looking for in the time of loneliness, losing loved ones. And we just pray, Father, you would meet every single need, but we would also recognize that your grace is sufficient for us. So we know, Father, as we go through this life, may we go through it together. May we suffer together. May we encourage, uplift one another, that none of us would ever feel alone. So, Father, we give you glory this morning. We turn to you with praise and adoration, for you are a good God. Thank you, Father, for meeting us here in this place, for hearing our prayers, for responding to our prayers in the way in which your will would have done. Be with each of us now. Still our hearts, remind us of your great love for us. Spur us on to love one another and to love this community and this world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The prayer of our hearts daily be, God.
of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will hear, the chains of the lame will be broken, streams will flow in deserts of fear. Your kingdom come, your will be done, now that we are your daughters and sons. Let the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. The ransomed of the Lord will return. The islands will sing God's songs at last. The chaff from the wheat shall be burned. God's kingdom on earth, it will come to pass. Your kingdom come, your will be done, now that we are your daughters and sons. Let the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. Will see their shame. The one true God will be adored. They'll turn from their fortune and fame. God's holy mountain will be restored. Your kingdom come, your will be done, now that we are your daughters and sons. Let the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family.
For this morning's offertory thought, I want to read from Psalms, 24, verses 1 to 5. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols, and never tell lies, they will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Please pray with me. Father God, we just thank you for your many abundant blessings. We pray that as we give back to you, that our gifts, our offerings, they will be used to further your kingdom. Lord, they will bring glory to your precious name. May our offerings be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. The sun shining down on me, when the it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give
I'd like to invite the children, come join me up front. I have a very simple question for you this morning. What is your favorite food? Tacos? What is it? Tacos? Olivia, what's your favorite food? You don't know? I don't know what that is. Chloe, what's your favorite food? Mac and cheese. I love that food. What about you, Ava? You don't know? LaShane, what's your favorite food? Anything? All right, that's a good answer. Now, what if for dinner tonight, your mom said that you can have your favorite food for dinner, all right? So Naomi, mom said we're having tacos for dinner. You're so excited. You get to the dinner table, you sit down, you look at the table, and that's not tacos. How would you feel? Sad. But she promised tacos. What happened?
Maybe she forgot.
Maybe she forgot? Maybe we didn't have the supplies for it. What would that be called if she promised it, but it's not there? She broke her promise. There we go. What is something that makes you really, really, really mad? Breaking my Xbox? Huh? Sometimes bad things happen. And we never know why. And sometimes you think you'll just blame God for it. And you feel like God broke his promise and took it away when he promised that nothing bad will happen to you. Well, he never made that promise, but. And then when you're mad and you don't know why this anything happened bad, you end up just blaming God because that's the easiest thing to do, right? Something bad happens, just blame God. Makes life easier, I think. But, and sometimes when parents break their promises, you blame God or you blame your parents. And you know what happens? Even though you blame God for something that bad that happens in your life, how does God feel still? Does he still love you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even though something bad may happen to you, he still wants the best for you, no matter what the situation may be. God never promised that everything's going to be all happy and sunshine and rainbows, but he does promise that sometimes you're going to go through something tough, and that even though it may feel tough, God's never going to leave you. He can promise you that. Pastor Matt is going to tell us today about what the Bible says about all of this, and it says God is good all the time. We may not always understand it, but God is always going to be good. Can we pray? Dear God, help us to remember that God is always good, and that even though we go through bad things, he still will love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys.
Scripture this morning is Luke 18, verse 19. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother."
Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this moment before us to be able to open our ears, to open our minds, to be able to listen and to hear what you have precisely for each of us today. I pray, Father, amidst our suffering, we would indeed see that you are good. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you that you are always with us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Robert Frost once said he can sum up life in three words: it goes on. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, sums it up this way: life is difficult. And we'd all agree, whether pleasant or difficult, life indeed does go on. And friends, it goes on according to the way in which we view God, in which we see the world around us. So this morning, there's really only one question we need to settle in our minds. Is God good when life isn't? And if God is good, then nothing in this life can take that away. And this includes suffering, whether physical or emotional, or mental or spiritual. Despite that suffering, is God good? Despite loneliness, depression, despite physical pain, lifelong battles with illness, is God good? When terrorists strike, babies die, drunk drivers live, is God still good? And the question becomes for us, who defines good? Are we to say God is only good when life is good? And when life is difficult, we somehow see him different. Richard, we remember, preached on this passage 2 weeks ago. But I want us to look at the premise and the conclusion of what this rich young ruler is asking. Again, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Friends, the reality is everyone has sinned. God never has. So God alone is good. Now think about this for a moment. What would he have done with us, sinners, if he were not a good God? It's comforting this morning to know we did not get what we deserved. Instead, God sends his only Son to become a man, and he walks on this earth as our brother. And as a man, he lives an absolute perfect life. He knew no sin. He was not even acquainted with sin. Then a holy and just God, a loving and compassionate God, moved by mercy and grace, pours our sin upon his only Son. And as a result, we're forgiven and we're set free. We have new life at hand as we believe and trust in the Lord and live for him. Our eternal destiny is secure. For this reason, God indeed is good. It's not based on what's happening around us. It's based on who he is. 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. To say that God is good means that God always acts in accordance with what is right, what is true, and what is good. You see, goodness is part of God's nature. He cannot contradict his nature. He is the standard of all that's good. So the fact that God is good means that he has no evil in him. Every intention, every motivation God has is always good. Consider the story of Joseph and look at his outcome in Genesis 50:20. He says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." You ever notice as we suffer the number of opportunities God puts before us to share our faith? It's all the more reason to see the goodness of God in every aspect of life. The conversation usually goes, "How do you stay so calm? How can you have peace when you're dealing with everything you're going through? How can you keep such a positive attitude when your world is falling apart?" And the answer is because God is good. God is for us. God will never leave us. He will see us through this time, even if that means until we take our final breath. Psalm 105, "The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Now notice, it didn't say through the 50s, through the 60s, through your 80s, or through your 90s, but through all generations. So the question becomes, if God is all-knowing, if God is all-powerful, and he's perfectly good, why does evil exist? And here's what we do. We solve the problem with two characters, Satan and man, temptation and free will. You see, God is good, but God gives us free will. He gives us a choice. Otherwise, we're nothing but puppets on a string. We're nothing but robots controlled by a remote. We all know this free will began in the Garden of Eden. Adam was told to enjoy all God created, except what I would imagine as this dazzling, remarkable, attractive tree in the very center. You ever notice it's always the things we cannot have we want the most? We learn this from a very young age, and we use tactics like tantrums to get what we want. And friends, my most epic fatherly fails result: giving in to the "I want, I must have," and then this, "Please, Daddy, please." Every time I give in. So Adam, the first man, is now joined by the beautiful woman, his future companion, his wife, later named Eve. They set off on this journey called life together, and life was good. They had everything they needed at their fingertips. God was talking to them in the garden. Yet that one thing remained untouchable. And we know how it goes. Don't touch the hot stove. And what does the child do? We know how the enemy works. We know how he creeps around. We know how he is clever and knows our weaknesses. And so he goes after the woman in the garden. He uses phrases that for the first time perhaps makes her think. And he says, "Did God really say?" You see, what he's doing is making her second guess. It happens to us all the time. Well, you know, I guess one more thin mint Girl Scout cookie really won't hurt. I mean, come on, it has thin in its description, so it can't be all that bad. And before we know it, the entire box is gone. Not that it's ever happened to me. So Satan is doing the same thing here. He is justifying why it's not all that bad to eat the fruit. Now, friends, it never says apple, so get past that. It was a fruit, and I imagine it was a fruit unlike any other. And we hear Satan continuing in Genesis 3, 4, and 5, "You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so begins right and wrong, good and evil. That very first bite, their eyes are opened, and for the very first time, they feel afraid. And when we think about it, we've been filled with fear ever since. And we know the results. They're in verses 16 to 19. To the woman, he says, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he says, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Now we have to wonder at this point, if we were to interview Adam and Eve and ask them the question, "Is God good?" what their response would have been. This problem, the problem is, we base his goodness on the circumstances around us. And we don't base his goodness on his true character. Remember what Jesus said. No one is good except God alone. And somehow in our thought process, based perhaps on this story, somehow God created evil. But hear me loud and hear me clear. God did not create evil. Habakkuk 1:13, referring to God himself, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." And again, as we heard in 1 John 1:5, "God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." For we know, friends, evil is the absence of goodness. It is whatever God is not. We see it all over the Old Testament. The Israelites repeatedly rejected God's good law. They forgot his goodness toward them, and ultimately they proved unfaithful. Psalm 78:11, they forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. Today we remembered Christ in his sufferings. It's something we must keep top of mind. We can't help but to realize that our lives become about our focus. And over the last month and a few days, I will be the first to admit it is much easier to focus on the pain. It is much easier to focus on the suffering than it is to focus on the goodness of God. And that goodness stems in his plan to redeem us from sin. It's what the gospel is all about. It's the good news. So no matter what, friends, as 2 Peter 3:9 reads, God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. This good God invites us to seek him And as Psalm 34:8 reads, to taste and see that he is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Friends, know that you are not alone in your suffering. Let this be a reminder together, as the body of Christ, the church, we can make this a reality. Not only do we have a good God that brings us comfort, we have brothers and sisters in the faith to share in our journeys. So whatever it takes, let us make certain that no one feels alone. Friends, we know that the Bible doesn't promise us a life filled with nothing but blessings, a life filled with prosperity. But it does promise that we will suffer, and that suffering, friends, has a purpose. And in the midst of those sufferings, we shall find blessings. So I invite you in the coming weeks to go on a journey with me in a new series called Pain, Pain, Go Away. And we'll look deeper at this topic of suffering and how we might suffer well and bring glory to Christ as he reveals his purposes to each of us. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the peace that you bring us. But Father, in this very moment, we confess that it's easier to look at the suffering before us, the pain before us, the loss before us, anything we're going through, and say, how can you be a good God when I go through all this? But Lord, your word specifically informs us that your goodness is not based on what's happening around us. But let us, Lord, come together. Let us unite to be able to support one another, to love one another, that we wouldn't feel alone, knowing, Lord, you are with us. And we have our brothers and sisters along with us as well. May this all be so in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 love. You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Suffering will come. If we're not enduring suffering already, in some way or another, suffering will come. But as we've just sung together, we know that we have a good, good Father. And we know that that good, good Father pours His love upon us. And we have the answer to all of life's problems. And that answer is found in the most powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. May we leave in His name in peace, knowing His love goes forth with us. Amen.